All right. So, Patrick, you wanted to talk a little bit about conversation skills. I'm sure that can benefit everyone. So what specifically conversationally did you want to talk about?
Just basically still getting stuck, getting in the right mood. A lot of the times I will walk into a place and be like a mute, but some nights I'll go out and I'll be amazingly, like, have an awesome conversation. So I guess I want to be more consistent with my conversation skills. And I think Sherban posted a little bit about this. It needs to be more dynamic and more outgoing. So I know we've kind of beaten this as a dead horse, but I always think it's a pretty good topic because everybody can get better at it.
No, I agree. It's definitely not something we've beaten like a dead horse. I mean, we haven't beaten the Airbnb thing either, so that was wrong of me to say. But conversation skills are probably the most leverageable skill you could possibly have. Just because most people are really bad at it. And if you can be good at it, like, the doors that opens are infinite when it comes to, obviously, dating, when it comes to business, making friends, you know, this, your ability to connect with people, which happens through conversation, is probably your greatest asset. So we can never talk about that too much. I want everyone to make sure you guys listen to that call, that podcast. It wasn't really a podcast. It was actually just a one-on-one call I was having with Joseph. And I was trying to walk him through, you know, how a conversation goes, like the, you know, the ins and outs, the what have yous. Big Lebowski quote, if anyone out there is a fan. Anyways, if you're having trouble like warming up, Patrick, it's because, or if you're having trouble like not getting in the zone, it's because you're not warmed up. Conversations and socializing it's more like a sport than it is like anything else. So you can't expect to just go out onto the basketball court and start cashing three pointers. You got to warm up before you get out of blah, blah, blah. Same thing goes with conversations. You got to go out. It's best to do like going on dates. One thing that I highly, highly recommend is do a few day game approaches. It'll really like get you in a good mood. Even if you get rejected, it still kind of warms you up. If you happen to get a number or two, that's even better. Do that date like a bunch of confidence and feeling good about it. And you got your warm up done. Certainly before going out to bars, I think it's great to do some day game. And then if you don't have that opportunity, then when you get to the bar, do some warm-ups, you know, just say hi to the person next to you, cheers them. Like, I don't want you guys to spend so much time thinking about the perfect openers and the perfect things to say. Like, I know I tend to talk about, you know, if you can do an awesome play-by-play opener and get an amazing reaction, the girl cracks up, you're going to get a lot more love, but don't let that stop you from taking action. Taking action is way more important than trying to think of something cool. So just say, hey, what's up? I'm Patrick. Like, literally, that's all you need. With good eye contact, solid body language, that can be the best opener out there, especially if she gives you love first. And now if she's sitting at the bar, spread eagle, and giving you little glances, then it should definitely go over.
Right.
So warming up is huge. That's probably the thing that most guys fail to do. You know, you'll go to the bar, you'll get a drink, you'll stand around, and the longer you stand around, the more in your head you're going to get, the harder it's going to be, the more time you waste. And it's so important to approach early on in the night, because as time goes on, guys get drunk and then the liquid courage starts flowing, and then they start hitting on girls really badly. And then girls start getting a lot more, bitchy and harder to approach. Like, talking to a girl at 10:30 is 100 times easier than talking to a girl at 1:45.
Right.
So, you know, it's kind of like that, I don't know, I call it like the magic hour or the witching hour. I don't call it anything. I'm just making up names, but it's that hour of time when, like, it's optimal to approach. I'd say in LA, it's between 10:30 and 11:30, just because the scene ends so early. Once it kind of hits midnight, then people are drunk, and it starts to become a shit show. By 12:30, if, like, you know, if you haven't done any approaches by then, you're not looking too good. In New York, it's usually between, like, 1 and 2, depending on the bar. But if it's, like, a place that stays open until 4, like, employees only, for example, EO is always, like, rocking between 1 and 2. Once it gets to, like, 2:15, 2:30, then it just becomes a sausage fest, and dudes are just hollering at everyone. Brazil, it was between 3 and 4. I noticed that, like, especially in Florianopolis and Rio, well, that's the only two places we were, but they, between 3 and 4 was like the optimal time where, you know, people were drunk, everyone was partying, because they party until like 5 or 6. So it's usually 2 hours before closing time, or 2.5. It's like the 2.5 to the 1.5 before closing time is like the optimal time to approach. So you really want to make sure you're warmed up by then. And, that's just getting it off your ass and doing it. And I want to talk about how, you know, I had a conversation with Shaban when he was in Brazil, and he posted about this in his final write-up. And I think I identified one of the big kind of missing pieces in his game. Shaban's super solid. You know, most of you guys have hung out with him at some point. He's, you know, everyone says the same thing. He's so chill. He's so laid back. He's so awesome. He's so easy to hang out with. And that's true.
I didn't say that. I said he sucked.
I'm not supposed to say that.
I'm just kidding. Obviously, I didn't say that.
But, you know, and Shaban nailed it in his write-up. He's like, I'm sick of people telling me I'm chill. and I love that. Because the problem he runs into is, like, he's not a super approach beast. Like, he'll definitely approach, but he's just, and he can get away with not really approaching because he goes out with other people that approach. And then he'll just kind of, you know, wait for the girls to come over the table or to be introduced to, like, a third party. And the problem with that is it's so much harder to, like, to build attraction that way unless you're basically running the show. Like, for example, if you're, like, in charge of the table, you're, like, the table captain, and you're the person, like, going together, and you're like that, then you don't have to do approaches. Like, you know, when girls show up at the table, they're going to naturally see you as, like, you know, the alpha male at the table or the guy running the show, and they're going to be attracted to that. But if you're not, or if you just happen to be chilling, then you don't really stand out as anything special. But versus if you do an approach, immediately she's going to, you know, be attracted or not. And then when you do bring her over to a table, if you're, you know, doing the whole club scene table game thing, then you're going to get even more points if you have cool friends and, you know, you obviously have that status of having a table and you're not partying with all the broke dick civilians with their carpeted apartments. So, approaching can kind of really help conversation skills for people that aren't, like, killing it. And then the other thing we mentioned was that Shaban needs to break rapport more. And I would, you know, this is a very specific case. I think this could be the case for someone like Patrick as well. Who else is on the call? Maybe Joel. I don't think he's quite there yet. But breaking rapport is when you intentionally, does everyone know what breaking rapport is? It's like when you cut the connection off, but not like stick it in like a fun, playful way and tease her. You can disagree with her. You know, something to show that you're not just like an agreeable, you know, dud who's just sitting there trying to have a conversation to get in her pants. That's what most guys do. They just sit there. They don't really have anything interesting to say. They never rock the boat. They just go along and kind of have these kind of sterile, boring conversations when they could be you know, expressing a lot more, showing who they are. And the risk of doing that, if you break rapport, is you might piss her off. You might, you know, say something that she doesn't like. But as long as you're not saying anything that's like awkward or weird or fucked up, like if you really, like if you feel very strongly about a certain subject and she says something otherwise, and, you know, you have a debate about that, but it's like a friendly, fun debate. It's not like some horrible, you know, argument over politics or religion. Don't get into any of those subjects. But that can be a great way to stand out and show that you're different. So breaking rapport is something important for Sherbon, because he doesn't do that enough. And I know he has opinions and beliefs and a bunch of shit. And one great way to do that, like a really easy one, is just talking about travel, the difference between US, other cultures, and a lot of the girls that you'll talk to in the US will be interested in traveling, especially if you go outside the US. Obviously you're traveling. They're going to be interested in that too. And you can have a lot of opinions on that, different dating cultures. That's a conversation I'd say often. So I'd say, Patrick, that's something that you could really stand to do, is break rapport a little bit more often. The only thing that I worry about with you is you might do it in a way that's like too logical and too, like, you know, you don't want the conversation to get all stuffy and heated. You don't want to start an argument, right? You don't want to be too stiff about it.
Yeah, I don't think I'm very good at making the conversation playful sometimes if I'm not in the right mood. So
that's why warming up is key.
Yeah. So. But yeah, that's good. Okay.
Yeah, you shouldn't be focused on breaking rapport unless you're consistently, you know, having a lot of conversations where girls are, where you're hooking them, where they're locked in, where they're one-on-one, where they're giving you all their attention. Like, breaking rapport, if you don't have their attention, isn't going to do anything, because there's no rapport to break, right? You can't break something that doesn't exist.
Yep. I guess I've seen you do a lot of like teasing and kind of stuff like that. I'm not good at that. And then sometimes, like, I don't know, creating that attraction is tough sometimes. Do you have any suggestions on, I don't even know what I'm at, but trying to create more of a playful tone, I guess.
I don't really tease a whole lot. I mean, I'm playful. It's hard to say. You know, teaching teasing and teaching banter into pickup. I worked for Pickup 101, and their whole thing was banter, banter, banter. They had a whole workshop where they teach guys how to banter. And it didn't work. You know, it worked for the guys who were already solid when it came to body language and fashion and like good looking dudes, like, you know, it worked for them, but the banter wasn't what was working. It was just that they were having a conversation, right? That was giving them something to do. And a lot of the banter that we would teach would be like the married couples role play, for example. Like, you walk up to a girl and, you know, during the conversation, she says something, you're like, that's it. We're getting divorced. Like, I can't do this anymore. You can have the kids. I'm going to take the house, the vacation house, the boat, the cars. I'm going to take the dog. Kids are yours. You take them. Also, since you've been the one making all the money for all these years, and I've, you know, been a stay-at-home husband, I'm going to expect alimony, even though you're taking the kids. And you can basically just kind of create this flirty, fun dynamic out of the role play. So it's way easier to banter. And when you have a structure of that married couple's role play, like, it's easy to come up with shit, right? Based on those constraints. You know, that can be a good thing for people to play with if you really have no idea where to go with the conversation. Like, you could use some of those tools like banter. Another tool you can use is like the lie and get caught thing. The problem is when I teach these, you know, guys tend to like overuse them, and they use them just in a really contrived, cheesy way. And, you know, it just doesn't, it just doesn't come off right. So it does take some practice, and it's going to work on girls that are probably already attracted to you, and it's going to kind of spike the attraction from, you know, a little to medium, from small to medium. It's not like a total game changer, so I don't really push that very hard. I don't really teach that a whole lot, but you know, it can be kind of effective. That's one thing you can do. The line get caught thing, you guys all know that one. Does anyone need me to explain that? Everyone has that. Okay, I'll assume that everyone has that. One really good thing to do, and this works really well on attention whores, on girls who are used to getting a lot of attention. Carly reminded me of this one. And that's when you basically walk up and you start a conversation and you immediately leave. Because you're doing kind of the opposite of what every other guy does. They stay, they linger, and it usually kind of comes out, just like the girl thinking, when's this guy gonna go? But if you leave after piquing their interest, then they're like, whoa, what the fuck? What happened to that guy? That's weird.
Oh, I reminded you because I reminded you that, not because I'm
attention. If he beats Carly when it comes to attention whoring by a gazillion. But it works with girls who are used to, constantly being hit on. So, the hotter the girl, the more likely that is to work. If you do that to like a 6, you might even piss her off and that won't work at all. But you shouldn't be approaching 6s anyways, unless that's all there is. So I know in LA and New York, or New York, tough to find much better than a 6. So, that's kind of my rant on conversations for now. What else do you guys got? What do we want to talk about?
When are we going to Europe?
Yeah.
Very good question.
Actually, this brings up a good, topic. Obviously, I made some good mistakes last year and did some good things. So how could Siobhan and I improve over last year if we go this year? What specifically should we work on?
Specifically do you work on? You work on everything, right? Advantage of these trips though, the reason to come is to get basically that it's basically how to it's how to learn how to operate as a team. And every guy I know that's really good with women is good because he surrounds himself with other guys that are good and they create a fun party environment. The hot girls are attracted to those guys, or they bring hot girls with them, which attracts more hot girls. And it's basically like the optimal way to socialize, right? It's social circle mixed with everything, mixed with pickup, mixed with, generating friendships and creating business opportunities. Like the guys who were on the Brazil trip all became like best friends, are all going to do deals together. They learned a ton about obviously dating and picking up chicks and all that fun stuff. But it's more about, creating a social circle and a lifestyle, having the option to go and travel when you want. It's kind of like the culmination of everything we teach, right? It's, can you get time off your job? Can you make money off your shit when you're traveling? Can you put your house on Airbnb? Can you rent your car out? Are you going to make friends on the trip and use those relationships to leverage in the money? Everyone who was on the Brazil trip, basically said it was awesome. And they all said the best part was the guys that they met. And that's always going to be the case. The biggest value of the group is not me teaching you guys how to day game or fucking breaking down a text message. It's you guys making friends with each other, holding each other accountable, pushing each other, and everyone grows together. That's the value of leverage. And I think a lot of the time,
people lose sight of that. Maybe I need to do a better job of reminding that people, you guys need to hang out with each other more, because, you know, the more you guys hang out, everyone's going to really like grow and move like as a unit. Like, Sherbon, do you want to speak to that a little bit about, you know, the, just that energy that was happening in Brazil?
Yeah. I mean, it was like a great group of guys, and like we all helped each other out. And yeah, trying to maintain that like outside of the trip is invaluable as well. Trying to think of like an add on to what you already said. I mean, yeah, it's more than just like the specific stuff. And another thing is like when you're hanging out with, you know, a bunch of guys, like not all the conversation has to be about pickup and shit. I mean, there's other stuff to talk about. I mean, a relationship with someone should be based about more than just like one thing you have in common that, you know, ideally, like you have a well-rounded life, well-rounded personality, and you connect on multiple points, and you're trying to improve on multiple levels as well. And plus, it's, you know, just like having fun. I mean, having like, one night, I remember like the first night at Rio Music Conference, like we were just having a shit ton of fun. And I mean, there was, you know, some pickup involved, but a lot of it was, you know, we're just feeling good with hanging out and enjoying the music and vibe. So.
Exactly. When you hit a certain level, like the pickup shit kind of goes away, because you're going to end up meeting most girls through social circle. And the reason why we party and do the whole table thing is because it's a blend of social circle plus approaching, right? You approach girls, you bring them to the table, and then you show, here's my social circle, here's my friends, we're all cool, you'd be silly for not hanging out with us. And literally, I think almost every single night we went out, like we brought girls back because A, we're a bunch of cool guys. We had cool girls with us and we have fun, and who wouldn't want to like be involved in that fun, right? Who wouldn't want to be involved in that positive energy? And that's really what it's about. For you guys to be ready for the trip like that, it's really important that you consistently, you know, are getting dates, that you can generate attraction. And that's why it's so important to do a lot of approaches. Because if you're nervous, if you're awkward and you're like, you know, just having trouble, you know, just generating those conversations, then you're going to hold the whole group back. So, you know, for this trip, it's going to be really important for some of you guys, like, for example, Joel, Derek, like I really need you guys to do a bunch of approaches and get more solid when it comes to attraction before coming on the trip. Because otherwise it won't be a really good use of your time or money if you're just sitting there having to do approach after approach and just getting smashed, right? You can do that in LA, right? The real value of the trip when it comes to dating and pickup, for example, is I get to watch you guys push pull. Doing push pull is really hard it's almost impossible to teach push pull over a phone call, or, you know, over, you know, a text. I have to see you guys in action. I have to show you exactly what you're doing, when you should pull away, when you should push. And anyone who's been on these trips knows, like, that's basically my job every night. Is I watch what everyone's doing, and when someone's showing too much interest, I basically grab them and pull them away. And you learn those really subtle but really important things, because when it comes to like that dance of attraction between a man and a woman, if you push too hard or you pull away too hard, like you're going to blow the whole thing. And that's really like that's what I like to teach. And that's the only way I can teach it. You know, is to be face to face, and it's way more effective in a group situation than it is just like you and I going out one night and like approaching girls together. I used to coach in that way a lot, and it's not nearly as effective as these trips. So the trips are awesome because obviously it incorporates all those dynamics. I'm trying to see if there's anyone else. Like with James, for example, like James had the problem of, you know, he was basically just making out with girls every night, and that would be it. Like occasionally he'd end up hooking up with one or whatever, but he was just blowing so many chances because he was just pushing too hard. He needed to learn how to pull back, and now he's absolutely destroying. So some tiny tweaks like that, which I need to see in person, can make a huge difference. But to reiterate, you need to be getting consistent attraction first to really work on push-pull. Like, push-pull isn't really, like, it's not really going to help a whole lot unless you're getting attraction a decent amount of the time. Everyone follow? And then there's all the dynamics, you know, that I dogged on Patrick for when we're in Europe. Like, Patrick gets attraction a lot. But instead of working as a team, he makes it too much, like, at least last summer in Europe, like, he made it too much about, like, what was going on with him. Like, he let basically whether or not he was having fun kind of dictate whether everyone else was having fun. And he ended up cock blocking. So that's why I yelled at him so many times. And, you know, I think he learned his lesson. We'll see. But, you know, some nights you're just not going to be on, right? And it's about helping the team. Because the more you help the team, the more that, you know, fruits of your labor will end up working out. Like, for example, we were out one night at, we went to this kind of like, it was like a Monday or Tuesday night in Rio, and there wasn't really a whole lot going on. It was before Carnival, and we went out to this bar with a bunch of hostel people, a bunch of, you know, tourists. And it was just a sea of, you know, not very good looking people and not, you know, not people you really cared to socialize with. But Joey brought a group of three girls back to the table because he was just beast moding approaches. And I think everyone ended up hooking up with those three girls. Like, Sherbon hooked up with one, Joey made out with one, and Corey made one of his, you know, one of his Brazilian wifeys came from that. And I have to give a lot of credit to Joey because Joey was getting just destroyed, like, for most of the beginning of the trip, even the middle of the trip. And I was like, Joey, all you can do is just approach more, approach more, approach more. And every night he approached more and more and more and more, and it paid off. And the last two nights he had his own little GFE experience. And now he's got a little Brazilian girl in love with him, wanting to fly out and hang out with him in Vegas and whatnot. But, you know, and I told him that night, I was like, a lot of this is variance. You know, sometimes you're going to go out and you're going to approach and you're going to, you know, you're going to think that you have like a dog poop bag on your head because every girl is going to just reject you and think you're disgusting. And it's not going to be, you know, it's not necessarily that you're doing anything wrong. It's just a string of bad luck. It's just variance. And if you guys watch that video that I posted, Critique found the video. It was, I think it was from RSD, about the variance and, you know, expected value of, you know, attraction. I've gone, like, when I left New York in 2012 or 2013, I forget. I remember, like, when I left, I was like, every girl I talked to was into me. It was amazing. I was like, oh, I'm the sickest. I'm so awesome. I'm so cool. Like, my ego was blowing up. Then I went to LA and I literally did 20 day game approaches and got demolished on all 20. And then I'm thinking the opposite. What's wrong with me? I'm a fucking loser. I suck, blah, blah, blah. And then it went back to normal. Thanks, babe. You're so good for my confidence. It went back to normal and, you know, went back to around that 40% mark. You know, if you're doing most things right when it comes to hitting on girls during the day, you're going to walk away with like 4 out of 10 numbers. And usually end up on dates with 2 out of those 10 or 2 out of those 4. So 1 out of 10 isn't bad, Derek. It's pretty good. Room for improvement, yeah. But still good. Yep. And you don't know, like, your sample size is way too low to even say it's 1 out of 10. You might just be, you might be getting lucky. You might suck worse, or you might be a lot better. So you can't even, you know, you need a huge sample of at least a couple hundred approaches to really know, you know, 300 approaches. I've probably done 10,000. So. All right, guys. Well,
I'm going to sign up and I'll talk to you guys next week. Later.